Independent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 25th on the West Coast, now August the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would like to also welcome those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network. And before we bring on tonight's guest, Dr. Michael Castle, I want to take you back to a time soon, in another 2 weeks, it'll be 9 years. I'm speaking about September 11th, 2001.
Attack on America, a special edition of NBC Nightly News. Terrorists declare war on the United States, hijacking jetliners, crashing them into New York's World Trade Towers. Another airliner into the Pentagon, threatening the seat of national power. Thousands likely dead. Downtown New York in chaos. America wondering, what next?
On Midtown Manhattan, and tonight America is at war with terrorists after a stunning series of attacks today against targets in New York and in Washington, D.C., the World Trade Center, and the Pentagon. The terrorists use hijacked civilian airliners and their passengers as guided missiles in their attack, the most serious attack on this country since Pearl Harbor, and tonight the dead still are being counted. An unknown number still are missing. At this hour, in this war, another development, there are reports out of Kabul tonight, the capital of Afghanistan, of explosions, but the Pentagon and the CIA are flatly denying that the United States had anything to do with those explosions. This has been one of the darkest days in America, and it is not yet over. Here at home now, a quick look at the locations where the four airliners hit. The Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan, 20 minutes apart. Then, within an hour this morning, the Pentagon. And then, the final crash just minutes later, about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, 266 people on the four airplanes alone, all presumed to be dead. At the World Trade Center, even more than nine hours now after this disaster began, officials do not know how many people were killed, how many still are trapped in all the rubble. We do know that on most days there would be at least 20,000 people at work in the World Trade Center at the time that the airliners crashed into those twin towers. Another 90,000 could be expected in the vicinity of those towers in the course of an average workday. And of course, scores of police, firefighters, and other emergency personnel were in the area when the buildings came down. We're going to get the view now from the White House and our correspondent there, Campbell Brown. Also from the Pentagon and from Jim Mikuláševsky. And I'm going to join now with a complete account of what this day has been like from NBC's David Bloom, who's been my colleague all day long. David, bring us up to date.
Well, Tom, more than 9.5 hours since the first attack, the smoke billowing from the hulks behind me is now more gray than black, indicating that the fires have diminished somewhat, but it's still an extremely dangerous situation. Just within the last hour or so, a third building, a 40-story building, also collapsed. 40 more stories of concrete, steel, and iron crashed into the ground. A makeshift morgue has been set up near the World Trade Center. New York City police still sticking to their early estimates that the casualties ultimately may number in the thousands. Nothing more precise than that. We've put together a chronology of the events as America's watched, dumbfounded, and yes, outraged and defiant. The first attack plane, a hijacked American Airlines flight out of Boston, slams into the North Tower of New York's World Trade Center at approximately 8:42 a.m. Eastern Time. The explosions and fireballs broadcast live by television helicopters, which then, horrifically, spot the second attack plane, a United Airlines flight hijacked from Boston, taking dead aim at the World Trade Center's South Tower. It's now approximately 9.03 a.m.
Hey, where the hell can I meet you? Oh. I'm across the street from the Marriott, man. A second airplane, a 727, just ran into the building.
Emergency officials estimate 20,000 or more people may have been inside the two 110-story buildings at the time of the attacks. Eyewitnesses report victims falling, and in some cases, jumping from the two buildings.
But there were people falling out of the sky.
At 9:29 a.m., President Bush, in Florida, addresses the nation for the first time.
Terrorism against our nation will not stand.
But in the nation's capital, just 11 minutes later, 9:40 a.m., a third hijacked plane, an American flight out of Washington Dulles, crashes into the Pentagon in a burst of flames, the plane's wreckage tearing a gaping hole into one side of the building. Federal buildings are evacuated, government leaders taken to secure hideouts. 9:59 a.m., the until now unthinkable, the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapses. An unknown number of people still trapped inside, including the rescuers, firefighters, and police who'd gone in trying to save lives. Then at 10 a.m., hundreds of miles away in western Pennsylvania, a fourth hijacked plane, a United flight out of Newark, crashes 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. 1 half hour later, 10:28 a.m., the North Tower of the World Trade Center collapses, rubble, debris spreading for blocks. In all, 266 people aboard four hijacked planes are killed, untold others in Washington and New York missing and presumed dead. In New York, a defiant Mayor Rudolph Giuliani.
The city of New York and the United States of America is much stronger than any group of barbaric terrorists.
For the first time in U.S. history, the Federal Aviation Administration closes all domestic airports, shutting down all U.S. airspace until at least noon tomorrow. The U.S. military and American embassies worldwide placed on the highest alert. Navy aircraft carriers and destroyers deployed along the eastern seaboard. The president, now in Louisiana, speaks for a second time.
The resolve of our great nation is being tested. But make no mistake, we will show the world that we will pass this test.
The president is then taken to the secure Strategic Air Command in Nebraska, meets with his national security team via teleconference before boarding Air Force One to return to Washington. But in New York late this afternoon, a third damaged building, the 40-story World Trade Center number 7, also crashes to the ground. And emergency officials allow the first camera crew from NBC News inside the smoking hulks of the Twin Towers. Ground zero, cars overturned, steel torn apart, glass shards, small fires still burning. The very picture America most feared, the image terrorists most wanted. As to who might be responsible, a senior American intelligence official tells NBC News tonight that they are now, and I'm quoting here, 90% certain that Osama bin Laden, the Saudi-born terrorist, was responsible for today's attack. This official tells NBC News, quote, this is not just surmise, this is new information. The president plans to address the nation from Washington, D.C. tonight. Tom?
Thank you very much, NBC's David Blum. And we're going to go now to Washington, where NBC's Campbell Brown, who covers the White House, is on duty. But across the street from the White House, the president is expected back there shortly. Campbell?
Tom, the president is on his way back to Washington tonight. We're told that Air Force One is being escorted by F-15 fighter jets on each wing. As David said, he is planning to address the nation tonight. One aide says his message will be one of resolve and reassurance. And, Tom, we are reporting to you tonight a block from the White House at a hotel. That's because those of us in the White House press corps, along with White House staff, were rushed out of the White House this morning as the entire complex was evacuated. Needless to say, this has been an extraordinary day for the president. One aide says when he spoke with his national security team in a live teleconference today, he said, quote, we will find these people and they will suffer the consequences.
Deal.
Yes, deal.
The president at a Sarasota, Florida elementary school about to begin a reading event gets first word shortly after 9 a.m. in a phone call from his national security advisor. One plane is crashed into the World Trade Center. Minutes later, Chief of Staff Andrew Card leans over and whispers in the president's ear. The reaction on Bush's face, the first sign of more horrifying news. A second plane has now hit the World Trade Center, with all indications this is a terrorist attack.
Today, we've had a national tragedy.
As Bush speaks, chaos at the White House. Staff and press are ordered to evacuate. People run from their offices across Pennsylvania Avenue. Crowds pour into the streets as buildings nearby are evacuated. People gather around car radios for any information. Fire engines blaze toward the White House. Shortly after 9:30 a.m., the president's national security team is in the situation.
Well, that's the end of the first part of four parts of NBC Nightly News, which was posted on YouTube shortly after 9/11/2001. Before I go into any picking apart of this propaganda piece, I'm going to invite back to tonight's show on Evident Footprints my good friend, the polymer chemist of renown, and also a chemtrail opposition researcher, Dr. Michael Castle. Dr. Castle, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don, and good evening. And good evening to your listeners out there. I'm very honored to be on your show. I always am, sir.
Well, you may be wondering, and I'm sure the listeners are wondering, why I played this clip. We have short memories, and certainly with all the information that's come out about 9/11, it sounds rather ridiculous that a 47-story building was described three times as a 40-story building. I'm speaking about Building 7 that was announced 20 minutes prior to its demise by the BBC as having already collapsed. Even a New York-based reporter from the BBC was standing on a building balcony several miles away from the World Trade Center, had reported the building having already collapsed when it was still standing. You could see it standing on the video. So they really botched this whole thing. They didn't follow the script exactly. I think some people were on page 27 and others were on page 35 already. The reference to an explosion in Afghanistan was also captured on videotape, and that came out the night of 9/11. I'm sure most people didn't even recognize that. It was such a brief little reference to that event. But notice that the CIA and the Pentagon denied having anything to do with it. Now, who said they did? I hadn't heard anyone say that. I don't think anyone in the listening audience heard anyone imply that the CIA or the Pentagon was responsible for a news clip that was coming out the night of 9/11. Very, very interesting little twist. I think we should talk about some of the anomalies that were shown to the public. You notice they said they were 90% sure that it was Osama bin Laden. Why would they only be 90% sure? Who would the other 10% have been? You see? And we all know that that was a lie. And I wonder why the president would have been flown to New Orleans. And isn't that a national security issue? Why would they describe where he went? And then to Nebraska. I think maybe he went to New Orleans to get reading lessons. First of all, to turn the book over right side up if you're going to read about my pet goat. Now think of the puppet that we had in office on that day, who would receive the message that the second tower was hit and sort of gaze into space with a bewildered look, and then hold the book upside down and pretend like he's reading from it. Imagine that. Is that any different than the leadership we have today, by the way?
No, I'm surprised he didn't look at his watch at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
pretty much on schedule.
Who in their right mind would continue reading a story about my pet goat with such an event occurring? Couldn't that be postponed and rescheduled for another date?
Well, he probably didn't ask that question to his handlers. Well, how am I supposed to act? Oh, by the way, did you catch that guy, the live witness, in fact, said, say you have to stay at the Marriott? Is a 727 hit the building? Did you even say 727?
Yes.
How did a 727 hit the building when there were no 727s in those fleets?
Well, that was an obvious inserted edit, too. It was uncharacteristically clear compared to all of the other video that they had of that event. And they just happened to go up to this guy on a cell phone with a camera and start putting him on the news. It was staged. The whole event was staged. This news broadcast was staged. And they had a lot of incorrect information. Anybody in New York knew that the Building 7 was only was 47 stories tall, not the 40 reported by David Blum. Three times he used 40 story. That's specific information. It's very specific. And he said damaged. It wasn't damaged. Not until they blew it up. There were so many lies told in that broadcast. That's just the first part of it. And that's really all I'm going to play tonight. Your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, when you look back in your own mind, if you had no suspicions that day or a clue what was transpiring and you didn't get it until you heard some of this up in, 2002 is about when I heard the first grumblings of something that this being staged, and there was no question that's exactly what had transpired. But how could they have done such a virtual global production right there in New York City with so much death and destruction? And just look at the number of people that know exactly that this was staged and this was an event that was planned. They've got all that death and blood on their hands. And Tom Brokaw, I mean, that man always reminded me of a tree frog, including his voice. But for some reason, I had grown very wary and suspect of a man such as he a long time ago for other reasons associated with his newscast about what's his name on CBS.
Walter Cronkite. Is that who you were going to say?
Concrete. Excuse me. And then later on in the years, I find out he's associative with the Bohemian Grove Bunch and that crowd. And it just, Don, it just all fit together why these people had this particular look about them. There was just something.
That was,
and I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
There was just something that was deceptive about it or just not right, because I knew that they were all in the flame and lib side over wherever they were at.
Mm-hmm.
But this 911 proves that they, in fact, do not think anything like normal humans. They can only think of something that would be equated to something like a hiver. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Because anything, in fact, could be expensed at the hands of whatever scenario that they think masterfully created and carried out. Just like they masterfully created and carried out the Gulf of Mexico catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. Look at the people that knew what went forward.
Yeah. Well, they're both false flag events, and false flag events are created to do some manipulation in the financial arena. there's massive corruption that occurred on 9/11. And it's been brought up before, but people have short memories. And then there are those that are just waking up that really haven't heard this before. So I thought, in light of the fact that they're still putting disinformation out on new TV shows, made-for-TV movies, have the disinformation about 9/11 and the Arab hijackers. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Sure.
They blame this on bin Laden, and then they associate a group of 19 box cutter wielding Arab hijackers that they capture on film at Boston's Logan Airport as one place. And of course, we don't know what part of the airport that was that they were showing us, but they show us, I don't know, a handful of shady-looking characters going through a turnstile, and you see no employees at the airport around there. It's a film of just this group. You don't see any other passengers. You just see this group of people, like they're rushing to get on the plane at the last minute, and you don't really know who these people are. They give you a name for them, but it turned out that many of these people were in the Middle East and knew nothing about this. And were incensed some years later when Dr. Qasem Khalil went there and hunted some of these people down and conducted interviews. These people were alive, but we were told they were killed in the plane crash. Well, if they weren't on the planes, then the planes weren't hijacked. If the planes weren't hijacked, it's quite possible the planes didn't fly at all, at least with passengers. And when you go down the paper trail, you find that certain people who were allegedly killed in these so-called plane crashes into World Trade Center 1 and 2 are still alive. They didn't die. What's going on here? Okay? And you can uncover this by following the paper trail, just like we have done in the Gulf of Mexico incident. There's a paper trail. And it's setting up a Ponzi scheme. Well, they had set up this Ponzi scheme, and they had to destroy the evidence. And they had the evidence in two buildings that had to be refurbished because of all the asbestos. And it was going to cost billions to have that asbestos removed and replaced with a suitable product. So it saved them a lot of money. It made them money, but it saved them the money in tearing the building down. We know that there were bombs planted in some of the tunnels and bridges, on the bridges around the boroughs of New York. And those were attributed to Israeli spies who were also captured. The ones from Urban Moving Company in New Jersey. That group had been arrested by the FBI and then released. Well, we couldn't have the truth get out. We had to have the boogeyman, Osama bin Laden, take the fall for this. And they know darn well that bin Laden didn't have anything to do with it. It was ridiculous that they made that statement. But if you just look at how sloppy this first report on NBC News was, the misstatements one after another, and the propaganda inserts. Why have a guy talking on a cell phone saying a 727 just crashed into the second tower? You know, and he's standing right there at the foot of the building while this is going on. Come on. You know, and the picture got extremely clear. The audio was even clearer, but the whole picture, it was like, they took this picture in another city and just had this guy looking up at the sky while he's talking on his cell phone. It was absurd. Now, why are there no pictures of other passengers getting onto a plane? Why aren't we seeing that? We're not seeing that because that didn't occur. I've been listening to some accounts of what happened on 9/11 recently. And there were accounts that Flight 93 landed in Cleveland at the Cleveland Hopkins International Airport. And the passengers disembarked the plane. you're talking about four planes, Flight 11, Flight 77. Those numbers have significance, by the way, in their numerology. Flight 175, which is a number 13, by the way, okay, numerologically speaking. And then you had, let's see, there was Flight 93. Now, Flight 93, when that crash site was visited by the coroner in Pennsylvania, he said he spent no longer than 20 minutes there. He said there were no bodies there. There were no body parts either. There was debris scattered around, but he could see no evidence of a plane crash, and there were no victims to declare dead. So why are we told that story? You see, we've not seen these people. In fact, we're given a list of names. And some of those people are still alive. They've changed their names, of course. But, you know, my listeners and my readers know that I can track the genealogy. If there is any truth out there, I can at least track their aliases.
I would agree. Wholeheartedly, sir.
So there, some of these people, or in some cases, maybe all of them, are involved in some aspect of some of the Ponzi schemes that took place. Now, I've talked about this to an extent on some other shows, but I think it's time we get into this a little bit more, because this is another Goldman Sachs doozy here. There were some other firms involved, because a lot of this dealt with insurance too. But airline stocks, the put options, who do we know is into put options? Just from looking at the Gulf of Mexico incident. Who's into put options? Well, we know Goldman Sachs, right?
Goldman Sachs.
And we know that that some of the other companies that were involved in that whole affair, Transocean Limited in Switzerland, Houston, Texas, and some other countries, multinational corporation that owns and leases these wells to oil companies, and they even provide backup services. And that's affiliated with Mark Rich, the 11th hour pardon of Bill Clinton before he left office, the guy who was involved in major money laundering, arms dealing. It's amazing how the dots connect. We were saying this many years ago. But there's more mounting evidence all the time that these connections are there. And again, Americans have short memories. The rest of the world knows what went on. So Osama bin Laden from Saudi Arabia is blamed on the night of 9/11. They're 90% sure he had something to do with it. And the day before, $2.3 trillion was missing from the Pentagon. Think it financed any of this operation? They had a number of military exercises going on right in New York City against the very thing that happened. And they said, oh, they were confused. And we heard stories that the military was ordered to stand down. The world's most powerful military couldn't stop four commercial jets being flown by people who didn't know how to land them. I mean, do we really buy that, any of that story?
I was just thinking, Don, if, ladies and gentlemen, if you get word that there's going to be a mock drill of anything in your neck of the woods, I'd leave immediately. That's how Katrina happened. They, in fact, had this mock drill. They had the thing with 911, there was just so many things going on that we didn't know the day of 9/11. And then we've got Brokaw announcing that it was a terrorist. And that was the night of 911, correct?
Yeah, that was the very night. And they had all the video edited. What I find interesting is the No Day Brothers film shows the first plane allegedly hitting the building, and it's shiny. It's gleaming in the sunlight. Okay, this highly polished metal look. Yet when you look at the pictures that the media had, these planes are black. They're in some kind of a vacuum or something, you know.
Well, and, you remember?
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Well, you remember those photos of those aircraft? And I did note that, but they were dark.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't what they in fact had shown going across the screen, which had a shine to it.
Mm-hmm.
That metallic aluminum, buffed aluminum metallic shine to them, or glint, if you will.
Yeah.
But then they started showing these way back in 2003 and 2004 of there being something being carried on the bottom of the wing. You remember seeing those photographs?
Yeah, I was going to I think it first came out in the movie Loose Change. Now you have to ask yourself, how did these college kids get a hold of that film? How did they get that film to put together this exposé to show everybody what happened on 9/11? See, it was more of the propaganda, more of the disinformation. And and that same film and the film clips of the No Day Brothers alleged interviews were showing up in other movies too, other DVDs, such as the Buy My DVD.
Well, that's how they do it. They start many wildfires, and you don't know which one. You can't see the one that you're standing in.
Yeah. But I think the first question comes up at the airport, okay? Why are there no other passengers seen getting on a plane? Nobody.
I agree.
Why is it those four planes, two of which hadn't been on any flight list or roster for at least 18 months, and the other ones, I think it was as long ago as 2 years prior to the event. So you're talking about somewhere in mid-1999 that those two of the planes were taken off of the schedules. Those numbers hadn't been seen, but they were chosen for the day of this event. And the number 11 happens to represent several things in their ritualistic practices. And the number 77 is 7 times 11. So, again, it has an occult meaning to them. The flight 175 gives them the Illuminati 13. And flight 93 works out to be a 12 or a 3. So it's all in their plans. Now, these events, when looked at through and subsequent events, false flag events, when looked at through the coding system of the dates that they released Bin Laden tapes, you could predict when the next event was going to occur. And once I discovered that system, deciphered that code, basically, I could predict when an event would have occurred. And when we checked the dates, you could see the London bombings, the Madrid bombings, the Bali nightclub bombing. All of that fit into the numerology that they were using. And they were using it by releasing a Bin Laden tape and then by releasing his second command, al-Zawahiri, making another statement. And they would talk about websites like Al Jazeera. Well, that wasn't a Middle Eastern website. That was a CIA website. And there were many others like it. Okay? They faked beheadings. They dressed up Mossad agents, speaking with noticeable accents that to anyone who understood and spoke Arabic could say that person's not Arabic. That's somebody else speaking Arabic, reading a script. Somebody that was trained to speak it, but they have an accent. So some of the journalist beheadings that we were shown pictures of, some videos posted on the internet, all of that was to create fear and to expand the propaganda machine.
Right. And they did.
Now, somebody takes out insurance a matter of a few weeks prior to an event occurring, insuring it against that exact event, and then it occurs, and they get away with that?
Who was the insurer? Who was the underwriter? Was that Lloyd's of London? I forget. Or they do?
I really can't answer that. I should be able to, but I didn't concern myself with that. But
no, I remember that from a long time ago, but then again, anymore when it becomes years, holding on to one of them little scraps like that.
Could have been AIG, you know, or
right, there you go. That fits. There's a ticket. That,
you know,
that
could
works.
Could have been Geico. Why not?
could have been the little green frog, you know, guy.
The little lizard was around there somewhere, I'm
lizard,
sure.
Yeah.
Of course, we're joking. I don't really know the answer to that question, but I got some other answers to some other questions.
Okay. Well, let me know what questions they are, and I'll ask.
Well, there came a time when there were so many things that weren't adding up, you know, and I always from the beginning had this question about why are we only seeing Arabs walking through a turnstile at what we're told is the airport? Why aren't we seeing anyone else there? Why are there no people checking their tickets or their baggage? Why isn't that occurring? And if you recall seeing that on any of the news broadcasts, you have to admit that that's a pretty strange situation. Even, you know, in times of peace, right? You know, and right away they said, we're at war, we're at war. Wait a minute, Congress didn't declare war. They still haven't declared war.
No.
They just went along with it. But they're
Brokaw said we were at war.
Yeah, he declared we were
at war. He declared war. Yeah, there's a tree frog ban.
And they had all these facts. You mean to tell me they could figure all this out in a matter of hours, but they couldn't stop this event from happening with the world's most powerful military? Does that make sense to you?
About as much sense as the CIA, and in fact, claiming, no, we didn't do that. We didn't blow them things up and come on. Hey, no, we didn't do that now. Yeah, I mean, what you just asked earlier, I'd forgotten that as well as many other people, but that was intended to be planted right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
On that day.
And Mr. Rick with the L had lots of stuff to say about the whole thing. Lots of stuff. And they play tag team on top of it. You know, got to spread the propaganda around. You know, we'll have our female reporter across the street from the White House inside the building. Like, that makes what she says more true. I mean, what does where she's standing have to do with what she's saying? She's hiding inside a building.
Yeah. She probably got a remote camera attached to as a brooch on her lapel. Yeah.
So now all the mainstream media outlets had the same footage. Their screens blacked out on the same anomalous film that they were showing. And they were showing us film. They were showing us edited film that had dropouts in it. You don't get dropouts from live video, folks. Very seldom, unless all the power goes out. But in this case, every single feed had the same frame-by-frame blackout. And it was when the alleged second plane hit. How do they know to get this camera up to this spot? You know? Right at the 85th floor. They were there catching, you know, as if they were side by side, even Steven, with the altitude of that plane. How did they know to be there? How did they know that the plane was going to hit the building? How did they know to be right up there where the plane was? How is that possible? Is there an elevator that fast? They got a spotter on top of the building talking to the person pushing the buttons. Well, I think if you hit 85, I think you'll be even with it. You'll get a perfect shot of it going into the building. How did they prepare for that? You see, it's phony. It's impossible to do that. Absolutely impossible. It caught everybody by surprise. How were they ready there with their cameras? Like the No Day brothers, how were they ready to aim from the street, looking at a bogus fire call in the middle of the street? It was so staged. It's sick.
Well, you asked some very legitimate questions right there, in particular that one. Explain, how did they know to take that photograph from that video cam from that particular altitude or area, panning that area to get a full, just grand view of this craft coming in and hitting right at that about the 85th floor, 83rd, 85th floor? Yes. You're absolutely right, Don. I'd not considered that before, but that is a legitimate forensic question.
And the sky was blue, but the film that they're showing, the sky is a great blue. It's kind of interesting. Depends on where you're standing, but not in the line of the smoke, you know, not in the path of the wind. But the whole sky, even where it's not affected by the smoke or the flames or the alleged jet fuel that caused steel to turn to molten steel.
Only 47
pillars they had in the core of that building, concrete encased.
Right.
Pillars.
Right.
And it was melted. And kerosene doesn't burn that hot.
And then when they fell down in their footprint, it just kept burning. Well, how could that be? Well, it was the metals. Really? Well, if that jet fuel, in fact, caused the fire, and all that papers, all those papers, just I heard that at one time back in about that same time that there was something. That's how it got so hot, is all these papers were burning from all. Oh, really? Well, that still doesn't get it up there where we need to be.
And those girders at the corners of the building were popping out like toothpicks. Boom, 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 boom. One after another. Maybe a little faster than that because it only took some 9.5 seconds for those buildings to fall, free fall on top of it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was pancake because of the heat on the top floor, on the 110th floor in the roof. That pancaked. Didn't have anything to do with the flashes that came out of the choppers on the backside of the building that were filmed in Rick Siegel's 9/11 eyewitness from the Hoboken side of the river.
Don, you know, the day that I realized that virtually everyone had taken this mostly by hook, line, and sinker, it really just kind of had their questions and suspicions, but really didn't give in to any of the things that were being said at the time about a conspiracy theory, in fact, a false flag event, which we know that's what it is, was. I really didn't recognize that until about 2003. 2003, 2004, I kid you not. And what I heard was when I heard this William Rodriguez, who was the janitor in the second building, and he had reported for work, and he had a couple, two or three of his workers with him. He was the supervisor. And they recited what explosions they heard under their feet and then over their head in succession. That was the girder beam cutters.
Oh yeah. And, well, first of all, they were below ground. They were in the lower levels of the building when they described those initial blasts.
Right. But that's the day I knew that it was a day of unbelievable horror, all for the sign of the serpent, all to make money for someone. They've killed all these people. They've done all this destruction just for money. And all the power that goes with that, because that's what they believe. I can tell you, that's not true. But that's, in fact, what this whole thing's about. But that's the day that I recognized it. And then, Rodriguez, and he gave his testimony to the commission back then when Lee Hamilton was heading up or assistant or something, assistant chair of that. I've called for that man's warrant for arrest for many years, and I still contend that he is one of the greatest treasonists of all times because he knew the truth, and he still, through all these years, tries to side-skirt this issue and still make the official findings the real story. The man has no soul. He also sits on the board of directors, along with him, other military brass, with BAE, International Industries, LLC, and a partridge in a pear tree, whatever the heck that thing is, along with all them generals and all this stuff. And in fact, BAE Industries, in fact, holds the international contract to run HARPs, as opposed to the Air Force Reserve and the U.S. Naval Reserve. Instead of active duty personnel, in fact, they're all now big contractors. And, you know, back in 2006 or 7, they got a $300 million prepay to take all of that over. And then Verizon and AT&T run the second tier of that whole thing, which comes from these towers that are in your neighborhood that you think are cell towers, but they got that triangular top on them. They got these 3, 6, and 9 looking little cylindrical spools on them. Those are not cell phone towers, ladies and gentlemen. Those are mind control towers. And in fact, it all emanates from that corporation that I told you, BAE Industries, which is intrinsically linked into a computer company, and it goes all over to Belgium. And yes, that's the thing that Dr. Ott has talked about, NSA, Fort Williams. That's what they want to get here. They want to get the second command array, which is what that's supposed to be, to, in fact, command array of something. I think we've guessed what it is quite succinctly, but nonetheless, if you understand my point, you see how just how vehement and horrid can you get when you have all of these beings. I refuse to call them humans, Don. I can't call them humans, especially that one that's in the White House right now. And he wasn't there when this all happened. But the one that, in fact, was his predecessor, he, in fact, was even more guilty of this grand deception, this great deception, than any other person in the history. Because it's his dad. I refuse to call him father because he doesn't even fit that. But anyways, and what you dug up about the Schur family, going all the way back to King George, going all the way back, and Dr. Ott's taking this all the way back to Romania. Ladies and gentlemen, we should have the Great Deception Conspiratorial List. And all of these names need to go on that list. We need to start making some arrests, and it needs to be planet-wide. There's a lot of people out there, Don, that think and are just as angry as you and I, and we all are. Yeah, we're angry. Yeah, take that in your psychological pipe and smoke it. Yeah, we're very angry.
You know, everything about weapons of mass destruction. Well, they had chemical weapons that Iraq used against the Iranians in that war that went on for 8 years or so. And that was funded specifically to create the pretext to do what they're doing now. And yes, don't kid yourself. The short-legged Mac Daddy's every bit as corrupt as his predecessor. Maybe even more so, but still every bit a puppet. He's a golfing vacationing puppet. Okay.
Seasoned in dark.
Yeah. I don't know, what his golf handicap is. Probably just playing is enough of a handicap, but, there was an interesting T-shirt that a gentleman in a Texas airport was wearing recently, and it said, leave Tiger alone. Obama is screwing the whole country. and the photograph had a subject line, can't believe this guy wasn't arrested. he was wearing it at an airport where there were a total of three people standing in that area. But, again, I go back to this question of the films that were absconded to around the Pentagon. 75 to 80 films were seized. And why? Why? What is in those films that's detrimental to anything? Is it detrimental to the truth? Does it expose the fact that, yes, this was a conspiracy? You don't conduct all that and have it not be a conspiracy. It can only be a conspiracy. The word theory is not necessary.
Correct.
It is. It serves no purpose other than to obfuscate the truth. It's part of the propaganda method. Okay? So if we look at all these people who supposedly died, and in each case we had these crazy stories, I don't remember was it the Todd Beamer call? Or this is Todd Beamer, your son, you know, something like that. If that was the name that was in that call, if you remember what I'm referring to.
Oh, yeah.
You do believe me, right?
Yeah, let's roll.
You know, to initiate a conversation like that and to play that for the people as being real, come on. It was a stretch of the imagination to realize the president of the United States was reading my pet goat upside down. Or was that a distress signal? You know, like flying the flag upside down. Was my pet goat a replacement for the American flag? Or was he that dysfunctional? Was he that incapable of operating? That much under mind control. And so I submit that they sent him to New Orleans afterwards, or near New Orleans, to get some reading lessons. First one, turn the book right side up. There's no reason for that. Oh, his safety. Come on. It was an inside job. Yes, I said it. It was an inside job. Every aspect of it. $2.3 trillion missing the day before. Well, why was it even necessary to mention that? You stole the money. Somebody stole the money. Why bring that up? Was that just something to divert attention? Made no sense. But what did make sense is when I started looking at the passenger lists and looking at names intentionally misspelled or middle initials changed. And it stuck out like a sore thumb. For some reason, you know, just looking at the list, I said, I'm going to look and see who this person was. And it led me straight to the paper trail. Looking at the list published by the New York Times of the 9/11 victims of Flight 11, which hit one of the towers, there was the name of a Daniel C. Lewin. Daniel C. Lewin. And as I did some research as to who Mr. Lewin was, I found out his real name was Daniel M. Lewin. And he was a partner with F. Tom Layton of MIT. In fact, he himself was enrolled or working on a team at MIT. Now, MIT, from all the research I've done over the last 5 to 10 years, appears to be one of the laboratories for the Pentagon. It's where they're developing a lot of their technologies and which lead to development of new weapons. And you're talking about some pretty spacey stuff with that too, and bioweapons and the whole nine yards. So
yeah, can I put something in there, Don?
Sure, go ahead.
It's also the home of the nanotechnology weapons. Let's just say classify it as working with interneural networks and design by being able to manipulate proteins. And all this, and it's exactly what we've experienced in the Morgellons-type syndrome of these aberrant replications of almost viral strains that have. Okay, all of that was invented by MIT, every single bit of it.
Yeah, well, vaccinations, too. And some
vaccinations, yes.
Okay. Well, it turned out I came across an obituary from a memorial service held at MIT. And Mr. Daniel M. Lewin was praised for his work, his studies. He was from Colorado. And then he was schooled in Israel. And he was developing computer algorithms. This plays into the put options, by the way, but it plays into some other technologies, too. And he graduated from Technion University, and he worked and developed a lot of these algorithms at IBM Haifa. Many people I talked to who worked for IBM at one time or another said, IBM doesn't have a plant in Haifa. And I said, you better check. Sure enough, they did. And they were shocked to learn that. So you have somebody that's affiliated with a technical school and then IBM in computer algorithms. And he goes over to MIT and he becomes a 50-50 partner with F. Tom Layton. And they form a company called Akamai Technologies. And they develop a server. I'm going to gloss over this. I'm not going to get real technical on the listening audience. But in essence, this server is supposed to relieve log jams on Internet servers. Well, I don't see how directing all this multiple traffic into one server reduces congestion. Sounds like it invites it. Or it creates the opportunity for someone to intercept all the data that's out there. So the server is basically serving a different purpose than what we're told it serves. But what's interesting is Mr. Lewin owned, 7,316,750 shares of Akamai Technology stock. And he's a 50% partner with F. Tom Layton. And Lewin owns 10% of the stock of the corporation. So the question then is, if he's a 50% partner, could one assume they both have 10% of the stock and someone else has 80% of the stock? And who might that be? Well, Mr. Lewin's stock was transferred to two people, his alleged widow, Anne E. Lewin, who didn't receive 10%. She received 3.15% of that stock. And an architectural professor at MIT and an international urban designer by the name, whose name is misspelled, by the way, in the SEC document, Susan Silberberg, it's written, but it should be Silberberg, Silver Mountain in English. Susan Silberberg has this same proportion, 3.15% of the total stock. roughly a third of Lewinstock. His wife, who's described on February 14th of 2002 as an Israeli citizen, in 2004 becomes an American citizen. So you have a fast-track program for that, I guess, when you inherit maybe billions of dollars. The 1 cent par value of the stock when it was first issued grew to something around $327.50 a share on 9/11, so somewhere around the ballpark. And I noticed that other people, officers in the company, had sold their stock just before this event. They were dumping their stock. Not all of it, but major portions of it. The same pattern that we saw with BP, Goldman Sachs, in the Gulf of Mexico incident. So these false flag events are designed to make money, lots of money. Okay, the put options is equivalent to the oil wells. The put options on the airplanes, I should say, are equivalent to the oil wells in the Gulf incident. Now, who got the other 3.7% of that stock? The Silberberg got 3.15%, and Lewin got 3.15%, and the rest of it is unexplained. Unless you consider that maybe Mr. Lewin was still alive because he wasn't on a plane that didn't hit the building, and so he would be alive. I found it interesting that I tracked down someone with the same first name, middle initial, and the last name Levine, Daniel M. Levine, in Houston, Texas, and sort of a webmaster of some Illuminati companies, some oil companies, and some big international corporations. Shows up there, shows up in Washington, D.C., shows up on the board of Homeland Security Investments as well. And interesting, he was from Colorado, too. He was educated in Israel. And, by the way, Lewin's parents' last name was Levine. Why would someone have a different last name than their parents? Unless they were adopted, of course. But you have a Lewin and a Levine, and both in the same business, both, you know, with high-profile clients and associations with Washington. The odds of that are staggering. Both of them got their Social Security number in Colorado. I found interesting. The difference of under the Daniel M. Lewin name, he was also Sayeret Matkal, which is above the Mossad. Interesting connections there. There is a paper trail on 9/11. This is just one aspect of it. Any comment, Dr. Castle? You sound
no, I how could you possibly comment on something that leaves such a blaze trail apparent? I don't know who you can tell except tell the story that you are about these obscure facts that all lead up to the only conclusion that could be possibly made is that what they're telling you did not happen. But this did. Mm-hmm. All of this corruption, all this thing, just it's a false flag. But then again, that cost a lot. And now it's as the Gulf of Mexico debacle, the catastrophe, that's not over with. And we've got really no idea of just how toxic things are and how dead so many species are because of that, and that will go on for a long, long time, including a lot of human suffering. But see, again, Don, it's just like they just never quit. They can just stage these things, and they can get everybody to participate. And as Christopher Boland said this evening on Dr. Oz's show, it's these secret societies. Look how they've got this thing all glued together. But now these are really exclusive societies because most of them have a lot to do with intra-agency, CIA, block ops, psyops, just everything. And military, all kind of rolled into specialty groups. I've got no doubt whatsoever that this Lewin is still alive. I've no question about that in my mind. Based on your track record of tracking down people that are supposedly dead, but they're not. And then they just, like, materialize, and everybody forgets what you had said. So
yeah, I picked out a couple of the more well-known names from the list. Ellen Mariani's husband appears to be alive. Changed his name, modified it slightly. And he's living with the vice president from Verizon.
Interesting. Really, really interesting. Which is CIA.
Yeah. It's a CIA front company.
Right.
So, I mean, everybody knows that. So that's, this is not
sure.
New.
Yeah.
But you see, now, this is a public record. This is SEC document that I'm reading these figures from. But I recall that Lewin had over 10 million shares. So there's 3 million shares of stock not showing up on this SEC report. They just disappeared into thin air.
Boy, they just do that every time, don't they?
Then they
set up somebody that's going to be a scapegoat. Well, so what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you find out the truth and somebody leaks it, which is rare, but it gets leaked out or they get fired for leaking or whatever, what's everybody do? Same thing we're doing now. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Because they know that there's no one to call. There's no one to contact. It makes no difference to these minions. They're all the same. All. Every single one of them are the same within this what's called a government. This is not a government. The Congress and the Senate, in fact, are mere corporate agents. We've got all the proof anyone would need to, in fact, to validate that particular comment, which I've been making for at least 5 years on these radio stations all across the world, all across the United States. I've been making the same comment. So there is no one to call. They're not, it's not going to make any difference. Hate to give you such downhearted thing to think forward to, but I can tell you this election is not going to go well. It's all going to be rigged. Like in Ohio, we still got Bruner in there. She's still going to be insistent. We're going to have these eyeballed, once-removed type machines. Doesn't matter what you say or what you vote, it's going to be changed. And there's going to be the officialdom of this empire as it comes in. And, I mean, how many states have I heard about the incumbents? Well, they're not doing as bad as we thought. I mean, they're getting all this propaganda, all this psychology, all nice and ready for you people. Nice and ready for you.
You think John McCain really won in Arizona, the primary?
Absolutely not.
But they announced that he did, right? Oh,
I heard, I seen him on TV. Yeah. And all I could think about, well, I mean, that's what I wrote back to you earlier, Don. Some of these, you can't even joke about this stuff because I can't find the first bit of humor even that jokes about them, any of them. It does. The disgust makes my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It makes my skin crawl. Just knowing that these people are an illusion. They're only a lie. And in fact, the system propagates that. Primary elections. Well, they propagate the thing. Well, Arizona, they're going to, in fact, make John McCain look good. Why? Why, yeah. It keeps their reptilians well in line.
Yeah.
And I got thrown off another show for saying that word, but I'll say it again.
Oh, you can say it. We say that on this show all the time. You have a situation where there's a major stock transaction takes place, and none of it looks above board from what I saw. Anybody can designate a beneficiary, okay? But if the flight didn't occur, if people didn't get on a plane, if a name was used just, you know, for a particular purpose to pull this off, which it appears it was, then there is something being hidden. And to be able to find it, to be able to just track pretty simply, track just by using the list. I did this with a number of alleged victims, and I find them all to be alive. Then we wonder, you know, these names were put out there, and they say, well, these were the passengers on the flights. So everybody assumes, well, there were passengers, and there were flights. Yet the evidence doesn't show what the story alleges. You know,
right.
The plane hitting the Pentagon. Where was the plane?
Right.
It authorized? Why didn't that paper that was hanging out on a shelf or on a desk on one of the above floors, why didn't that paper vaporize?
Mm-hmm.
Why did the engines and the landing gear all vaporize in that paper that was blowing in the wind? You could see it in the opening of the building. Why didn't that vaporize or catch on fire? And then they showed us the official pictures on the internet. And you see a little Photoshop image sneak into view, and then it disappears because the camera only takes a picture once every second. And that whole jetliner in 1 second went into that building, and the camera didn't catch any of it.
And vaporized, as you said, and there was no parts at all found. No body parts, no plane parts, nothing was found. All gone.
But they attacked the records, the financial records office of the U.S. Navy in that wing of the Pentagon. And coincidentally, the naval offices in the Murrah building were hit, too. So it sounds like somebody was competing, one agency in the military competing with another. And if I was to take a stab at it, I could say it was the Army.
That does make sense.
For a lot of reasons. Then there were many anomalies that occurred in the whole process. You had cars blocks away, three or four cars in a row, singed to a crisp, burnt to a crisp, and then a spotless car sitting in between them, parked along the side of the street. Not a scratch on it. How do events like that occur unless some exotic technologies are being used? And we know that they were used at the Gulf of Mexico incident. It was captured on film. And it really doesn't matter what they used to bring the buildings down. It's quite clear that a turban-sporting camel jockey hiding in a cave in Afghanistan didn't do it. And it's highly unlikely that one of his minions would have lost his passport several blocks away from the World Trade Center before crashing his plane into it. What did he do? Roll down the window and say, I've got to get rid of my ID? Oh, the ridiculous stories. Then we had an engine two or three blocks away from the site. Before the first plane crashed, there was an engine sitting on a sidewalk and a piece of landing gear sitting, and it had yellow police tape around it.
I remember that.
Awning before the first plane hit. and people walked by and looked at it and didn't ask any questions, like, what might this be doing here?
Is this a Pratt & Whitney or a GE?
Oh.
That is hilarious. Because I've never heard that question asked before. But it is accurate what you said, because I remember seeing that jet engine with that police, the crime scene tape around it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, that's... You're absolutely right, Don. Huh?
How did a couple of movie documentary producers get footage of an empty office suite after the buildings had collapsed? How did they get that footage? And from whom would they have gotten that footage? And would it have anything to do with the fact that Marvin Bush had the security contract and was in charge of security at the World Trade Center up until September 10th, 2001, the day before? Then isn't that very interesting timing? How many people's contracts expire the day before a false flag event? What would you say the odds are of that? In any false flag event, that
I would just take a wild guess. I'd say probably at least a billion to one or less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think about coincidence. That's a two-sided. That's a coin with two sides on it, and they're both heads.
Mm-hmm. Or tails.
No, they're both heads. Coin.
Yeah, it raises many questions. And why the hurry to get all that rubble out of there? To get it out? Why no investigation of the rubble? Why was there not a forensic examination of that?
Right.
By the FBI, for example.
Yeah, or Lee Hamilton, or all those powers that were there to do such thing. I think most of them had knowledge of what really happened. They're not going to, they don't want anybody to investigate anything. Mm-hmm. They've got their money. They've got their blood money, or their shut up money. Mm-hmm. And that's still probably they're still probably making payments on that, you know? They're probably paying them people off just like, is this what Russert knew? Tim Russert? Is this what he knew? Is this what he found out on?
I think Russert was looking into something, and the word got out that he was looking at it. Of course, you see, he was a paid lackey, and so, you know, he goes against the establishment after having accepted large sums of money and an agreement, you know, to tote the bucket for them, as most mainstream journalists are doing, despite what anyone thinks.
All right, they own everything. They own those people as well. And you're right. He'd already taken some type of payment, restitution, whatever.
They all
for
did.
Whatever reason, for not they reporting news
lots
the
of
way
money
it should be.
To stay away from certain stories.
Right.
And I'd heard a couple of times that Bob Schieffer was looking at some stories and was warned to get off of the story. Well, you don't know if that's disinformation or but I find it interesting that if Tim Russert was looking into that he died of one of those convenient heart attacks that right. So many are dying from. I mean, the stress must be overwhelming. But that's a good point that you brought him up, because there was something that was about to be exposed. There was also something about to be exposed by Chandra Levy. If you remember her story, she was an intern with, I want to say Gary Condit. Is that name?
That's it.
Yeah, from the state of California. She herself was from Cleveland, Ohio, originally. But she may have stumbled across something really significant. She worked for the Bureau of Prisons at the time, and she was about to release some information, and so they had to silence her. But she was sent in there to compromise Condit, I'm sure, much like Monica Lewinsky compromised Bill Clinton. And those things don't happen by accident, and they got the attention that they got because it was designed to produce a particular result. And it's a pattern that you see over and over again. It's a diversion of sorts. Several people have speculated as to who may have actually put out the order to have her killed. When you look at Vince Foster's murder, there was a lot of money exchanging hands. Now, whether any of what Leawanta allegedly said and did and gave to people was true or not leaves a lot of speculation or for speculation, because that also goes in different directions too. Kind of interesting, because this is all going to tie together eventually. It may take us a couple of weeks to bring all this out on this show. But all that's going to tie together. All of it.
Well, just keep going. That's what I like that you're doing. And Dr. Ott's doing the same thing with the guest he's been having on. And that gentleman, Christopher Bolin, impressed me greatly with some of the other answers he had. But I recall he said the same thing about arresting these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I agree with his, we don't really need any more conclusions. We don't need any more evidence. We've got what we need. We need to have somebody to have some type of warrants drawn that are legit and taken through the, I guess the only officer that would be necessary is the Attorney General of the United States. Of course, that's corrupted as well. But be it as it may, there could be, in fact, an assignment of these grand jurists. There's no question in my mind that, in fact, there would be enough power to, in fact, get behind that type of movement, because it's absolutely not political. Politics do not exist in our dimension anymore, because it's the same thing. It's one big illusion by design to draw you and draft you apart.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they, in fact, separate everybody. And that dimension doesn't exist in our world anymore, Don. There's many of us.
It becomes a year-long, not an annual, a year-long Halloween party. Everybody's gone on a costume and masks, and they're playing a role. You know?
Absolutely right. That is an excellent characterization. I mean, after you've found out what you have found out about John McCain, along with what Dr. Ott has, in fact, put out about some of these by his research as well, so many, not just McCain, but it's stunning. I guess McCain thinks that people don't listen to these internet radio shows, right? Unfortunately, he's wrong, because I believe the vast majority of people looking for some kind of information, some kind, have went to internet radio. I believe you two, so many more than two, but you two in particular have got a listening audience that is vast. And I would say the majority of those listening, Don, agree with your conclusions and your findings.
Well, you know,
okay, that's what's more refreshing than anything, that they agree. Okay, if you agree, let's get something done, ladies and gentlemen. It's across this planet that the corruption doesn't stop, but we, in fact, can make a stand.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, there are people whose names are on some of these lists as being fatalities of 9/11, and there were people in buildings. Okay? Many of those people are listed there. We're assuming that those people are who they say they are and that they were there. But we don't know for certain. I doubt if anyone got an accurate body count. They were finding fingers on top of the Deutsche Bank building months later. Even, I think, a year later. That's something really gory. Some gory details about that. But that was a reason for them to, you know, tear down Deutsche Bank, which is real big in the money laundering, the international Ponzi scheme, and the bailout, and the international theft and embezzlement going on. It's all connected. It's all related.
Did the CIA step up and say they didn't do that? They didn't have anything to do with them fingers on that butcher. Don't look at us. We didn't do it.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of, you know, that news report, you know, the denial. The CIA and the Pentagon say they had nothing to do with that. Who said they did?
That's an interesting find, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, when I was going back, this was months ago, I was going back reviewing that opening salvo that night. You know, it was the first major broadcast that Tom Brokaw did. And it just struck me funny. Why would they show that picture of Afghanistan? Well, you see, they're putting their little seal on this. They're putting their ritualistic seal on the images and the dissemination of the information. Then, you know, if you recall, they had to find where bin Laden was, right? They didn't know where he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. But that was a cover story. Then they end up flying his whole family out of the United States secretly. You know, I mean, they've been caught in lie after lie at every stage of what they profess happened and who was responsible and who knew what and who didn't know anything and what happened. It's all been a lie.
Other than he gets arrested.
Yeah, people were led to their slaughter. And there were people blowing the whistle before that happened about the corruption that they spotted. And some of those people were the ones working under contract for firms like Cantor Fitzgerald and some of the other firms in that building. Cantor Fitzgerald basically ran the whole put option operation for them, and they had to destroy the records.
And they got wiped out.
Yeah, they took big losses. But it's funny, a lot of people were told not to come. Yeah, a lot of people were told not to show up for work that morning.
But the CEO, in fact, did arrive late and missed all the action.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Castle, we have used up a lot of time here.
I enjoyed it very much, Don. I always enjoy listening to, as I said today, you are a historian. You're a researcher, but you're actually writing history, just as Dr. Ott is, and so many more out there, Don. I really enjoy this because I like it. And you said some of these things today, like about Lewin and Levin, and of course, Levine. I can interrupt when I'm on the phone with you, and we can go all these other places. And there's so many things that, in fact, that have not been told. Those story behinds the stories that are beginning to be told. So I appreciate it very much for you having me on, and let me listen to some of this stuff again and just keep digging, sir. Just keep digging.
Well, I'm just, I think the digging's over. I think just have to write and just have to share the information. Anyone can research this stuff. It's out there. The lists that were put out are, there's some truth in there. There were victims, you know, and we don't intend to demean the loss of those people. You know, many families were destroyed. Whole families were lost. And you know, fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and grandchildren turned into dust. And it's obscene what occurred, and we can't stress that enough. But the issue is not to wallow in the fear and that pain, we have an obligation not to forget those people and not to ignore where all the signs point as to who was responsible for this.
Right.
There are a lot of names that have come out. And you know, by the way, I just want to mention, I had no idea that Christopher Bolin was going to be on Dr. Rod's show this evening. You and I had decided we were going to discuss this early today. So,
right.
And we didn't really prepare for it. We just
no. I was very intrigued by some of the stuff that you were saying on about this research that you've done. So when I heard Mr. Bolin on True Show, I just thought, well, there's always a reason why we should talk about things that are called the truth when there's been so many other really nasty, bad things that happened to humanity, but in particular America, and then all these other things that have happened across the globe. And it just always seems to point to the same band of misgiven bad souls. I mean, there's just no magnitude of word I can describe. So I'll just say, damn. And because there's so many variations of them and there's so many minions. And like I said, if you had knowledge of this, which you did, if you had knowledge of this as it was transpiring, all over the Gulf of Mexico and what transpired there, then you've got the blood of all of this humanity and all the creatures on your hands. Thanks a lot.
You're speaking figuratively, of course. So, not to me.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for being on the show. Man, the time really flew tonight. I appreciate your willingness to revisit this dark topic, but you know, we got to cast some light on it and see it for what it really was and is, because what they've been trying to do is tell us that the Muslim people are our enemies. This has all been contrived by Zionist pigs.
Right.
Don't know what else to call them.
Yeah.
So I thank you for your input and wish you a good night. And I know you're going to be with Dr. Rod again this coming Friday
on
the micro effect. So anyone out there that wants to hear you on that show, by all means, do go to themicroeffect.com. Dr. Castle, you have a good evening. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our guest, Dr. Michael Castle. Special thanks to Windtalkers Radio Network, Don Newsom on the sound, and Seth Hendrick. I don't know if Seth is still there. Probably Don right now. Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III, talk show host of A Marine's Disquisition, heard on Windtalkers and blogtalkradio.com. He's going to pay us a visit, and we're going to revisit some of this stuff, pretty sure. So be sure to tune in. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.